When I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barb. We're so glad to have each of you with us today. You know, the Lord's in control of all things. We say that a lot. We don't always live like we believe it, but we do. We realize that God is in control. We realize that He has brought us here for His own purpose. For His own purpose. Yes, we may have our purposes that we work toward. Let me tell you, as we depend on Him and lean on Him, He's guiding us. He's directing even the thoughts of our minds. When we decide, well, I think I'm going to get up and go to church this morning. We decide, I think I'm going to read something in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is drawing us to a certain person, and that certain person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So many times we're asked, why would God even allow Satan in the Garden of Eden to let all this happen? There's so much pain and so much suffering, all these things that go on that are so against God. And the answer is that He might show the magnificent glory of His Son, that He might show the power of the love of God, and that He might show that love through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we're thankful this morning that we have His Word. Now, we have been looking at basically why do we need the Word of God? Why do we read the Word of God? We looked at the basic revelation of the Word of God, God revealing Himself to us. We looked at the fact that He did it by inspiring men of old to write down the words of God. These men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They weren't simply encouraged. They weren't simply directed in a certain path. But they were inspired to write down, word for word, what God wanted in this book. God gave us this word. He gave it to us for so many reasons. There's so many benefits of us reading it. God's way of salvation is through His Word. Paul told us in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel, and what is the gospel? Well, it's the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came to this earth to pay the price for your sin, the price for your separation from God that Adam and Eve instituted, you might say, whenever they disobeyed God in the garden. We started looking at last week some results of God showing us what His Word means to us. The illumination. The results of illumination. We only got to one. We may not get much further this day. But that one was that the Christian is no longer enslaved to the traditional lies about God. Now, the Bible teaches us that the non-believer is led about by Satan. That's hard for us to take because at one time we were non-believers. And we have to look back and think, was he really leading me? And if you just kind of take a good look at the direction you were going, you will realize that the Bible is true. He was. He uses the non-believer. No longer are we led about by every wind of doctrine that comes by, that blows past us. We have learned that human wisdom does not extend to the spiritual realm. The Bible declares that we cannot know God on our own. He must be revealed to us by a spiritual power, by a spiritual authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where we'll be this morning to begin with. And again, we're going to be reading Paul's address to the church at Corinth there. Verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." There's a big difference between worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. A huge difference. Before being saved, before realizing that God's word was the truth and it's meant for me, and it's meant for you, we believed the wisdom of the world, didn't we? We followed the leaders of the world. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Our leaders today, they have all the PhDs. They have all the worldly knowledge in their mind. They've passed all the exams. They have the qualifications to stand up and to proclaim to you what is life. They have all the qualifications. Paul didn't have that, did he? And he didn't proclaim that he did. He said, verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Man's wisdom. "But in the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul said, "for it, the account of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth," he said. And then he gave the reason why. Remember, he said, "For therein," in that gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed." Not my righteousness, not my wisdom, not my ability, not yours, but only the righteousness of God. This is the power of God Paul was talking about when he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," those that are complete. He's talking about God's people. "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." There's a separation there between two different kinds of wisdom. "Nor of the princes or the leaders of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew." The princes of this world don't know today either, or they wouldn't be leading us astray. They wouldn't be leading us away from the Word of God and casting doubts in our minds about whether it's authentic and whether it really is from God and whether or not it really is true. They don't know him today either. Now in this sixth verse, he said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom unto them, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Princes of this world also be rendered as leaders, the leaders of this world. Those that are leading us, I just said, astray. And they are. These leaders don't know the right way. Their way leads to destruction. When we say leaders, that's just not political. It's not only political leaders. Yes, we follow the political leaders. But it's also the philosophical leaders that the world trusts in. It's also the scientific leaders that the world trusts in, whatever they say. You notice over and over, especially in the medical field, they'll tell us that one thing that we've eaten all our life is going to kill us. It's bad. But then another test a year or two later goes, "Oh, yeah, actually, that's good. This stuff that we told you to eat every day, now it's bad." the wisdom of man, it's going to disappear. Now, nor the princes of this world. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. That come to naught. Also could be translated, rendered ineffective. They come to naught. What they're teaching comes to naught. Which is rendered ineffective. The priest that crossed the street and looked the other way in the account of the Good Samaritan. That's what's happening today. Those leaders, these teachers, yes, they have the degrees. They have the certificates to show that they are at the top of man's wisdom. But they don't give the dead sinner what he needs to be saved. They cross the street and they don't look at the dead sinner. And they say to themselves, "Ah, he'll be all right. He'll be okay." But you see, he won't, will he? He won't be okay without the truth. Why the truth? Because the truth is the power of God unto salvation, you see. It's important that we preach the truth. It matters. Because I'm going to tell you, the wisdom of this world is going to come to naught. It'll be rendered ineffective. And it already is. We have a small assembly. A lot of that I attribute to the preaching of the truth. There are churches in this town who have 7,000 or 8,000 people there this morning. And the preacher is going to make them feel good about being there. He's going to make them feel good about themselves. And let me tell you, I want you to feel good about the new person that you are in Jesus Christ as you trust totally in Him for your eternal life. But I'm not going to make you feel good about that person that you were before He saved you, about that fallen nature that's still within you today. It matters. The fear of God, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom, godly wisdom. You see, God's up here, and we're down here. And it has to remain that way. Man wants to bring us down here, following Satan's original life. Oh, did God really say that? Oh, come on. That's what He told Eve. Did God really say that? Ah, He's just jealous. He don't want you to be as strong as He is. He don't want you to know all this stuff. He's keeping you down. You know, the message is the same today, isn't it? Listen to the leaders of this world. They want you to think that you're equal with God. You can make your own decisions about what's right and what's wrong. And they're doing it, aren't they? Yes. In our country, they are making up new rules, new laws. And they're doing away with God's law, saying, "Oh, did God say that? Well, He must have been wrong. He was having a bad day if He said that. He couldn't have meant that." Here's the real deal. If it makes you feel good, it's got to be good. That's what they're telling us, isn't it? It is. Don't worry about what God says. He'll get over it. Let me tell you, He won't get over it. The sin that's going to keep people out of heaven is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Because if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful to forgive us. Oh, it's so important that we don't lean on the wisdom of this world as we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so important that we lean on the wisdom of God. His book is so important. the leaders of our world today, they show their lack of godly wisdom every time they open their mouth, don't they? They do, because they discount the necessity of Jesus Christ. They put the power and the authority in the hand of the sinner, saying that you have the power to choose. What men don't want to accept is the fact that God has the power to choose. And God has used that power and he has chosen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ suffered on that cross for you today? Do you realize by trusting in God's word that you are a sinner? And the only way of your salvation is the free, unmerited favor of God, as the Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus Christ through his word. Through his word. See, that's what he uses. That's God's way. Why the Lord would call somebody like me to preach, all I can say is because he wanted to. An old redneck fisherman standing up here proclaiming the gospel to you. Well, one reason is because it makes it very evident that it's of God and not of me, doesn't it? I don't have that education. I don't have that PhD. I haven't passed all the tests of men to be assured that they could put me in front of thousands or millions of people without me telling the truth. You see, if they put me in front of them, I'm going to tell the truth. Why? Because that's what God called me to do. He didn't call me to make you feel good about yourself, see? He didn't call me to tell you that you can base your salvation on a decision you made in and of yourself. No. He called me to preach the power of God unto salvation. That Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and that death, that separation from God, passed on to you. You were helpless and hopeless, not just sick, not just on the surface about to drown, but on the bottom of the ocean in death, separated from God with no connection possible from you to him. He called me to preach to you that he loved you so much, even before the foundation of this world, he knew all about you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to live a perfect life. There's the qualified one. Consider him. He never sinned once. He loved you so much that he gave that perfect life for you, and he shed his blood for you. He has always been the only acceptable sacrifice, all the way from the Garden of Eden. Yes, Adam and Eve covered up their nakedness with fig leaves. And to them, it looked fine. I can't see you. You can't see me. But not to God, you see. It's the same thing with the works of men. The decisions of men from their corrupt heart. Not acceptable. Only total trust in the blood of Jesus Christ as acceptable payment satisfies God. The just shall live by faith. You've been justified, see. God has given you this trust in him. That's what this faith is. He hung on that cross and he carried my sins. And he cried out. He said, "It is finished," didn't he? Oh, a lot of things happened when he gave up the ghost, didn't he? Earthquakes. The veil was rent, ripped from top to bottom, showing that God ripped it. God did away with that separation. It took a high priest to go behind that curtain. He couldn't go through it. He had to go around it to represent the sinner. Now the sinner has access to Jesus Christ by trusting in him and him alone. Yes, he died. But praise God, in 3 days he rose from that grave. He rose from that grave. We all know the account. But on the road to Emmaus, you know, there were two that the Lord walked with and talked with, and they're like, he said, "What are y'all talking about?" Basically, and of course, I'm paraphrasing. Well, are you not around from around here? You don't know everything that's been going on about Jesus from Nazareth and how our leaders, they took him up to be crucified. And it says that Jesus started to expound to them the Word of God. He started explaining it to them. And they understood it. And there was an effect that him explaining the Word of God to them had on their soul. It burned within their heart. Isn't that something? That's what happens when he explains it to you too. It burns within our heart. All because of that love, you see. That love is shown to us. Yes, he rose from that grave triumphant. Don't let anybody tell you that they stole his body away and they made all that up. No, he was seen by many, many, many people. He arose triumphant. He defeated all your enemies. Oh, won't you trust what he has given you to be strengthened in him? Won't you trust his words? Truth. It's the absolute truth, and it's for you. You are spiritually alive if you trust in him. His spirit dwells within you. And he's drawing you today. I don't have to tell you he's drawing you to him today. You know that. You know it. Why? Because the truth burns within your heart because God's revealed it to you. And you realize that. You couldn't reach out and get a hold of it because you couldn't understand it. Why? Because it had not been illuminated unto you, but rather your understanding was in darkness. But the Holy Spirit of God has shined in your heart. Oh, praise him if you know him this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. What a provider. Everything that we need to guide us in this life is in this book right here. Don't trust anything else. Don't trust anybody else. Look and see what God said about you because it's for you.